flap, floodle, 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 flip, flap, floodle, 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 flip, flap, floodle, floodle, floodle.
Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming, or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. And if you have something to say and would like to be featured on the network, please visit speakuptalkradio.com for all of the details, or contact us at pr@speakuptalkradio.com. Well, today I have a returning guest and one of my favorite of virtual friends. She is Joan Y. Edwards. Joan is the author of Joan's Elder Care Guide, Empowering You and Your Elder to Survive. And that's one of the topics we really honed in on our last interview. So you can head over to the website and hear that again if you missed it the first time. The book provides caregivers the information they need to meet their needs and the needs of the elders in their care. Joan is also author, illustrator of the children's book, Flip Flap Floodle, My Favorite, and then you heard a little part of that at the beginning of the show today, and I just love that for some reason. It makes me feel so happy. Joan also just completed some exciting work that we will focus on today, and that is her gospel-based word search and crossword puzzle books that contain puzzles, mini devotionals, and solutions for Sundays and feasts of the liturgical year. And these are just perfect for children's liturgy, children's church, Sunday school, and home Bible study. Joan taught elementary school for 35 years. She has a Master of Education and is a member of the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators and Charlotte Writers Club. She's just a lovely friend, and I'm always so proud and honored to speak with her and share her with you. So let's bring her on. Welcome back to the network, Joan.
Thank you, Pat Rulo. I love being on your network.
I love you, too. I just love talking with you. I love seeing all of your beautiful, inspiring posts on Facebook. And I mentioned Flip Flap Floodle. Ever since I met you, I just randomly sing that, and it just makes me happy. So I thank you for introducing me to that book and that little song. And speaking of happy, Joan, you posted a beautiful video last week of your butterfly release.
Yeah, that is so fun. It really is. I started doing that when I was teaching kindergarten. I found this place that you could order the little caterpillars from, and then you could, so the children could watch the formation of the chrysalis, and then 7 to 10 days later, then they hatch out into butterflies, and then I guess the correct term is emerge, but anyway, so to me, it's like hatching. So then you get to release them a few days after that when they're able to fly around really good and all, and it just touched a part of me. I've always loved butterflies. I did capture some with a net when I was little, but I always let them go. I just wanted to take a closer look at them.
Oh, well, I think that's a very special thing to do, you know, especially everybody's cloistered at home. What a great project. That only happens during the spring, right?
In some parts of the country, they can release them probably year-round, like in California.
Okay.
Insect Lore, the company that I purchased them from, is out there in California. And Painted Lady butterflies, the ones that I get, they live here in North Carolina as well, but they're actually, I think, native to California. So depending on the weather where you are, and the people there at Insect Lore can help people decide whether it would be good for them. And they also have a place where, I don't know the exact website, but you can get monarch butterflies. And monarchs are a lot stronger than the Painted Ladies. They are real strong. Like, they fly down to South America, and
yes,
they stay down there on these trees and all, and it looks like you just got trees, but if you're in the dark, but then in the daytime you can see that they're just covered with all these beautiful butterflies.
Wow, what a lovely thing. When you did that, I thought, oh my gosh, I've been to butterfly, I don't even know what they call them. Some of the museums have them where you can be in the room with the butterflies that are hatching, but I never really thought to do it myself. I think I might do that. I think it's a great idea. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, you're welcome. And when you go to those places, Sometimes the butterflies will land on you, and it's so exhilarating.
No, I always think it's good luck, or isn't it? It's a real special time. Ah, thank you. I'm glad we talked about this, because hopefully other people will head over to insect lore, maybe, and pursue that. Yep. All right, now we're getting down to business. We are getting to some of your newest work, gospel-based word search and crossword puzzle books, as I mentioned. How did that come about? What made you decide to do that?
Back in 2000, my mother was living with us, and her hip broke, and she fell. She couldn't do much walking and things like that. So it was sort of the start of where she really needed to have me there to help her out. And I thought, you know, she can't go to church anymore. And I said, you know, there might be some children that can't get to church. Either their parents won't take them, or they're incapacitated, and they might enjoy working some puzzles online. So I found this software, crossword compiler for the crosswords, and Word Splash Pro for the word search puzzles. And I asked the pastor at St. John Newman Church if I could put some of these puzzles and devotionals on the church website. And he said, sure. Oh, my gosh, Pat, I got emails from all over the world saying that they love these crossword puzzles and word search puzzles. And they asked me if I could get them done, because I was doing them for the next Sunday, you know, whatever the readings were for the next Sunday. And they said, is there any way you could do them earlier, like sooner, so that we could have a couple of weeks to get ready for, you know, that particular Sunday? And I said, oh, well, sure, yeah, I can do that. So then I did that, and I started adding the puzzles and things and devotionals. The devotionals were separate at that time. I was adding them, so many of them, the guy that was putting the things on the website at the church was getting overwhelmed, and he couldn't keep up with me. So I said, oh, my gosh, I got to learn how to fix my own website and put these puzzles up there for people. So I did that, and it had where they could actually work the puzzles online. There was, I don't remember what it was called, but it ended up being that it was a good way for people to hack into the website and put malware. And so Google sent out these messages whenever people went to my website saying, oh, don't go here, don't go here, don't go here. And I said, I can't have that. So I removed the puzzles in the software that was causing problems. And I said, well, maybe I need to get a different website that's a little bit more secure, so that it has that, like when you go to a site, if it has HTTPS, that means it's a secure website.
Right.
And so I went to Bluehost in 2016 and started my website there, and then I moved my blog over to there. I said, it'd be nice, since I'm going to be moving everything anyway, I may as well just move the blog there, so people don't have to go here, there, and everywhere to find me. I'm just right there in one spot. Mm-hmm. So I did that, and I thought, wow, well, you know, Joan, I bet the people are missing the puzzles, and they wrote and asked me about them. And I said, maybe it would be good to have them in book form. So I did, it was a year B, that was the year that we were in, and I did year B, but then people weren't able, like when you have a paperback book, it's hard to make copies. And I wanted them to be able to freely make copies to share with students or family, or, you know, if it was at a school or a church, to be able to, like, email them or share them with whoever they wanted to. And it's hard to do that from a paperback book. So then I said, oh, ebook, good. So then I thought, ebook, okay. So then I made it into an ebook. Well, you can't share an ebook either. So I said, okay, what is a format? So then I said, the PDF format. That's good. People can put that one, they can email it to each other at the church or whatever. They could email the people who are in the Sunday school group. Even now with the COVID-19 virus, you know, it would enable people who had a Sunday school class to share these puzzles with their students, with the people. So I'm really thankful that I was able to get that done. I wanted to make sure that each year had the same number of puzzles. And at first, when I did them, I was just doing them for each one of the Sundays. Well, sometimes, like in cycle A, and the way that the calendar goes, some of the Sundays are not the same, like the ninth, say like the ninth Sunday in the ordinary time. Sometimes Easter starts earlier, so it wouldn't be there until later. Anyway, it changes, and the readings change. Like you have Mark and Matthew and Luke, and so that they're the main focus of these different years. They focus on a different gospel for the Sunday. So I wanted to make sure that each one of the books had the same number, so I had to add some to it. So that's sort of the story about how it came about and why I have the PDF books. And Amazon won't sell my PDF books through the KDP program. So I said, well, I'll just put it on my website. And I have the WooCommerce, which enables the people to click here on my website, but where they pay is on PayPal. Mm-hmm. And that's a definitely very secure place.
Right. Excellent. Excellent. Wow. I was wondering about the mechanics of it. I didn't really think about there already being a software. So, but then you still have to come up with all of the clues and where to put them. I mean, that's extremely time consuming, isn't it?
Yes, it's very time consuming. The and you have to go to like the Bible verse, like the gospel, and see what words are in there and what the story is about, and put it in there, you know, add it so that it makes sense. And it is pretty cool. Now, I had a lot of people that went to it, and they missed it when I took it off of my website, and I thought about just going ahead and putting it back on this new website, but they said that I would have to add each puzzle individually onto the website, and somehow adding, let's see, there's 80 from A and 80 from B and 80 from C.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And each one, I said, oh, no. So I decided, that's when I decided that I was going to make it a book so that it would be more accessible for people and they would be able to use it.
All right. Excellent. So they are, the format is a PDF format. They can go to your website. Why don't you give us your website name now, then we'll get it again later.
It's JoanYEdwards.com. Okay. And the shop where you can see the different books is where you could go. But anyway, so it's HTTPS, the double slash period, www.JoanYEdwards.com/shop.
Okay. All righty. So if they head over to JoanYEdwards.com, they'll see all your other goodies that you have, your blog and all kinds of things. Maybe we'll get a chance to talk about that. And now those books are listed, books A, B, and C, to correspond with the liturgical year, right?
Right, yes, for the liturgical year. There are three liturgical years. One focuses on Matthew, one focuses on Mark, and one focuses on the Gospels according to Luke.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And they put some feast days feature John's Gospels.
Now, you mentioned Sunday school, or maybe we can brainstorm how these books can be used. I was thinking especially since school has been canceled and summer schools have been canceled, and you know, everybody's still wondering what are they going to do with their kids for quality resources to help educate them. I believe that these would just be a great piece to add to whatever they're currently doing. Let's talk about some of your ideas of ways that these books can be implemented.
Right. Yeah. If they're homeschooling, I think it would be a great way for them to expand the vocabulary and the study of the different stories through the gospel. Now, I don't always, in my little mini devotionals, I don't always talk through the same thing as what's in the gospel story. I try to relate it to what the children can do, or even adults, if they're reading it, it could pertain to them too, like helping others and being selfless and trying to help others and do things as Jesus would do, and that God is proud of them and loves them and created them special. So I tried to get them to know that God loves them and is there to help them.
And even folks responsible for putting together their parish newsletters, this would be great. They could get a copy of your PDF book and grab one each week and pop it into their newsletter, right?
Yes, they can. And actually, a man from down in Trivago, he puts it in his parish newsletter. He's used the crossword puzzles for a long time. And even he uses some of my my blog posts about, because I have a lot of spiritual blog posts too. So he's actually put some of them in there, like the one that I wrote that don't tell people how big your problem is, tell them how big your God is and things like that. Mm-hmm.
Now, Joan, are these very specific to young people, or would it be fun just for an older adult? I was just thinking like nursing homes, just to have something kind of recreational to do.
I think it was, sometimes I mention your brother and sister or helping your father and your mother, but it could, I mean, they could also translate it to being helping, like Jesus said, be kind to your brother. He wasn't actually just meaning your
right.
your familiar, you know, your family brother, right. but other brothers and sisters mm-hmm. out there in the world.
Yeah,
I think they would really enjoy doing them. And as one of the ladies, Pam Bryson, said that she liked to use them with her students. She liked to use both puzzles because the word search puzzles gave them a word bank to figure out the answers to the crossword puzzles.
I was just going to mention that you design the books in such a way that they can use the words from the word search book that then translate into the crossword puzzles. So do you suggest that the books be used in any particular order? Would it be beneficial to do the word search book first and then the crossword puzzle?
Sometimes I think they give them both puzzles at the same time.
Okay.
So that if they didn't finish one while they were there in Sunday school class or they didn't have enough time, then they could take it home and finish it.
Mm-hmm.
And there could be the word searches could be done. Even I think kindergartners can search for different letters. But the crossword puzzles, they would probably need to be able to read. But if they did it with someone else, they did it with a partner or their parent or a brother or sister that's older,
mm-hmm.
They would probably be able to, like, from the third grade up. And so even middle grade students enjoy doing them.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, so I think, you know, anybody of any age would probably enjoy doing them.
I agree. I just see a grandparent and a little child working together on this. I just think that
yeah.
would be so fun. So I hope folks head over to joanyedwards.com, and there you will find my favorite book, Flip Flap Floodle. Tell us a little more about that book. That's such a fun book.
Thank you. Well, when I was a little girl, about 5 years old, I went around making up stories and singing songs, which I still do today. I still sing songs, make up songs. Anyway, so I made up this little story about Flip Flap Floodle, and he was a little duck, and he wanted to go show his grandma how well he could play on his flute. So, of course, his mother says, "Watch out for Mr. Fox," and the little duck says, "Ah, the fox is no trouble. He's going to love my song, and I'm going to be fine." Well, as it turns out, the fox doesn't like his song, so he is in big trouble. Now, when I was a little girl, there weren't many picture books. They had the Grimm's Fairy Tales were in one book, and they had pictures at the beginning of each story, but that was about it. And so when I became a teacher and then I was pregnant with my first daughter, I said, "Oh, my gosh, I'd like to get Flip Flap Floodle published so I could put it in a library and maybe my children would be able to see it in this, mm-hmm. in the library and check it out, and that would be cool." So then I tried, I sent off to different publishers. I can't tell you how many, but I'm sure it was probably 100 anyway in total from that time, from the 1960s until I retired from teaching in 1998. And I said, "You know what? I'm going to take some of my retirement money, and in 5 years, I'm going to send it out again. And in 5 years, if people are still saying no, I'm going to self-publish Flip Flap Floodle." So 5 years went by, and people kept saying no. And so I self-published it. And what was really neat is that self-publishing came about, that they could put it in color in 2004, and that's when I self-published Flip Flap Floodle, and it was so much fun. I've always sang Flip Flap Floodle, 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 Flip Flap Floodle, 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 Flip Flap Floodle, 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 all during my life, and it helps me to smile and say, I'm going to make it. I'm not going to give up, and that's what Flip Flap Floodle, he never gives up, even in the fox's belly, and it turns out great.
Oh, Joan, I love it because I do the same thing. Sometimes I just walk through the house, Flip Flap Floodle, 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 and I just smile, and I don't know why this has just touched me so, and just makes me happy, it makes me smile. But I tell you that all the time. You probably think I'm crazy, but it's really affected me, and it's just something so simple, you know?
Yeah, well, I'm glad.
Yep.
Yeah, this one time on Idlewild Road, my son-in-law said, Mama, John, he said, I heard Flip Flap Floodle this afternoon. I heard somebody singing Flip Flap Floodle. And so I said, well, you know, I have gone to the school there and, you know, introduced Flip Flap Floodle. So it is possible that some of the children in the neighborhood could go around singing the song. Some of the students that, you know, I taught in elementary school, and I met them as an adult, and they said, oh, my gosh, I want to tell you that I still sing Flip Flop Floodle, and it helps me to get through some tough times. So
I
hope that happens with everybody that reads the story and sings the song, that they know that they can do it. They just don't give up on it.
Exactly. Thank you. And you have some sample lesson plans for that book on your website as well, which I thought would be extremely helpful for teachers.
Yes, I do. And if there's something that people need or want that's not on my website, like if they want a blog post spiritually or about writing or about, you know, I have a lot on there about for authors, but I also have a lot of spiritual ones that will uplift. That's what I like to do. There was one time in my life when I was very discouraged, and someone helped me, and so it was actually a priest. He said, you know, and I asked him how I could repay him, and he says, Joan, you're already repaying. Every time I've seen you, you try to help someone who needs help. So just continue doing that for God, and he is going to be very happy. So that's why I try to encourage other people so they won't get down in the dumps and want to give up.
Absolutely. That's a beautiful way to live a life. Thank you for being that person.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Fun most of the time.
It really is. It's very rewarding to do that. It gives you so many feelings of happiness yourself just by outwardly being happy and kind to others. And you mentioned that you have a lot of self-publishing advice. I think that also extends to, you know, you talked about spiritually, but also being able to share that kind of advice and that camaraderie with fellow authors, because as you mentioned, it's a long road. I mean, here you were sending 100 different publishers to request them to take a look at Flip Flap Floodle. It's not an easy journey to be an author, although with self-publishing now, it opens up the doors. And so on your website, you have so much excellent advice for authors.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I try to, you know, pass on, like I put a lot of resources in there of blog posts and information that I see. I said, you know, if I'm just looking at it and saving it and reading it for me, that's fine, but it would be better to share it with other people so that they can also look at it and decide if this will help them or not. A lot of times maybe it doesn't, but a lot of times maybe it does.
Yes, because there's quite a learning curve to publishing your own book. And then there's so much information out there. You've got to spend time to sort through it. And basically, you're trying to reinvent the wheel all of the time. So if they could have a resource such as yourself, where you've kind of done the legwork and makes it a little bit easier, but that's a great thing to do. So that's also at your website, a lot of excellent advice for authors.
Yeah, and I have a plan. It's called Pub Sellers. And it tells them, like, what to do to get your manuscript ready. And a lot of people that talk about self-publishing, one of the things that it used to be about books that were self-published is that they didn't have them edited very well. And so there were a lot of mistakes, grammatical and typos and things like that. So anybody that's going to self-publish, they need to make sure that they've had their book edited and checked numerous times. Because you know what? When you're typing, your brain wants you to be right. And so if you type IT apostrophe S thinking that it's ITS, it's going to snuffle over that and just say, cool, you got it, you got it, you got it. And then somebody else reads it and say, oh, no, it's not IT. It's not supposed to be IT apostrophe S. It's supposed to be ITS. So, you know, your brain wants you to be right. So you have to double check that. And sometimes leaving it in a drawer for a couple of weeks and then taking it out and reading it, and you'll see the things yourself. But having someone else's eyes to see it that's not so much saying, okay, you're right, you're right, you're right, might find it. Oh. Or reading a story backwards, sometimes you'll find your errors.
Very, very true. Yes. I love the idea of fresh eyes. I just finished an anthology with 31 different authors, and I have been so immersed in that for the last 6 months that I know what it's supposed to say, so I miss mistakes, as you said. So sometimes I was like, I've got to take the weekend off and put this away. And another way I found to really find mistakes, as I do some audiobook narration, and when you read it out loud, that's another time when you do find your own mistakes. So it could be helpful for an author just to reread out loud their work.
Right, yeah, if they read it out loud. And then, you know, if they put it in a PDF format, they have the part there where you can ask the computer software to read it to you, and you can hear the mistakes that way, too.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Again, JoanYEdwards.com. So what's next for you? I understand you are working on a new book, love the title, Larry the Terrifying Turkey.
Yeah, Larry the Terrifying Turkey. I've been working on the illustrations for it, and my husband had a interesting interlude with health problems or whatever, so I wasn't able to concentrate on the illustrating, because it takes me a lot of thinking and straight thinking to get through the illustration. So I started on it and then I stopped, and then the puzzle books were sort of hanging over my head. I wanted to do that for God, so I worked on them. So now I'm ready to work on Larry again, and hopefully I'll have him out within 6 months, and then people can enjoy hearing how Larry terrified Sarah in the story, and how he makes friends and it turns out okay.
Oh, I love that. Larry the Terrifying Turkey. Well, you get cracking on that, because I'm looking forward to finding out more about Larry. All right, Joan, so much to talk about. Is there anything we missed, though, that you wanted to talk about today?
No, I think you pretty much covered it. It's been fun. I like it. I guess if the people wanted to know the names of the software, Word Splash Pro, the man that did that, he's no longer offering it for sale, so that was good that I already had that. And then Crossword Compiler, it's still out there, and it's great software.
Okay. All right. Crossword Compiler and Insect Lore and JoanYEdwards.com. We've learned a lot today.
Thank you.
Yeah. So as we head out, any final words that you'd like to leave us with?
I want you to remember, and all of your listeners to remember, to never give up. There is a way to do what you want to do. You just have to keep looking and searching and believing in yourself, and God will help you to do it.
Thank you so much for being my friend. I'm so glad we met. Thank you for sharing your gospel-based word search and crossword puzzles. I hope folks head over to JoanYEdwards.com, take a look at that, and share them with some young people you know. It's just a beautiful thing to do. Joan, thank you.
You're welcome, and have a great day. Enjoy being you. You're the best you can be.
Flip, flap, floodle, 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 flip, flap, floodle, 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 flip, flap, floodle, floodle, floodle.